The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Packers were fined $300,000, while Aaron Rodgers and receiver Alan Lazard were each fined $14,000 and change for a Rob Domofsky. The investigation began last week after Rodgers tested positive for the virus. The NFL found that violations of their joint protocols with the union included the unvaccinated Rodgers not wearing a mask during his news conferences and the team not reporting that Rodgers and Lazard attended a Halloween party, even though it was away from its facility. It appears Aaron Rodgers is coming around a little bit. Take a listen.
I do realize that I am a role model to a lot of people. And so I just wanted to start off the show by acknowledging that, you know, I made some comments that, people might have felt were misleading. And, you know, to anybody who felt misled by those comments, I take full responsibility for those comments. And I'm excited about feeling better. I'm excited about moving forward and hopefully getting back with my team. And getting back to doing what I do best, and that's playing ball.
Kimberly Martin with us. Great to have you.
Hello, hello.
And I want to start with you. Do you think Rodgers looks better or worse after those latest comments?
I don't think it was possible for him to look worse. What got me, though, was that he was honest the first time he went on Friday. And when he was quoting the great Martin Luther King. Let me tell you guys something. If you ever feel like you want to quote Martin Luther King, just stop. Just don't. Just stop. No more. Nobody. Stop quoting Martin Luther King. Because Aaron realized, 4 days later, you know what? This activism stuff just isn't for me. I'm an athlete. And I think we saw the real Aaron. He gave his opinion the first time he spoke. And when the blowback hit him, that's when he was like, oh, okay, let me correct this and give my real apology. Although it did sound like, you know, you have somebody who gives you the passive aggressive, like, it appears that my words may have offended you. You felt some type of way.
Not
so
an apology.
I'm sorry that you felt some sort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That bothered me. And I think ultimately, Aaron didn't want the smoke. Aaron didn't want to deal with the Kyrie, didn't want to deal with all of it. So now he felt he had to come back and say, I'm sorry if I may have misled people. And then by the end, he finally said, yeah, I understand I misled people and I have to take full responsibility.
Well, my issue with Aaron Rodgers, and you know, listen, I'm unapologetic about how I feel about the man. I think that he's the greatest talent at the quarterback position I've ever seen. I coined the phrase, he's a bad man for a reason, because I mean it. And one of the greatest honors of my professional career was meeting him and getting to talk to him. And I felt that on numerous occasions, people were a bit too critical and looking for things to knock him down for. I remember when somebody was trying to bring up his family issues because his brother was on The Bachelor and, you know, his brother said some things. And my first words were, mind your damn business. It's none of our business what went on between him and his family. It's none of my business. And I still hold true to that. But I say all of that to say that I never looked at Aaron Rodgers and associated the word weak with him until this happened. Because I keep going back to Carson Wentz is not vaccinated. He's playing. Kirk Cousins is not vaccinated. They're playing. There is nothing in the National Football League prohibiting you from playing the game of football if you are unvaccinated. They just have protocols in place that you have to follow if you're going to play because they're worried about their bottom line being compromised because according to the science, if you're not vaccinated, you're more apt to contaminate somebody else and obviously yourself than you would be if you were vaccinated. And so because of that, to want to have your cake and eat it too, to be as duplicitous and as my boy Jeff would say, as deliberately deceitful as you were, oh, yes, I'm immunized. You were waiting for the media to ask you a follow-up question. Why? You could have simply said no. of course, you know, I'm immunized, but I didn't take the vaccine. Okay, so they didn't follow up and they didn't do their due diligence, and that's on them. But it doesn't allow you to escape your culpability in all of this, nor that for the Packers. Right. And then for the Packers to co-sign on it, to let you gallivant around without a mask on. I'm not talking about press conferences. I'm talking about on that football field, communicating with players after each game. You are on that football field knowing that you weren't vaccinated, and that is the issue. And so for me, for him to turn around and to try to give an explanation, everybody was focused on the explanation and how convoluted that sounded. You know what I was focused on? Well, why the hell didn't you say all of that from day one? Because if you said that from day one, we could agree or disagree. But what we wouldn't do is sit up there and call you a liar. This wouldn't be a story. Mm-hmm. The NFL wouldn't have had to investigate. The Green Bay Packers wouldn't have mud on their faces. You wouldn't either, and we would all move forward. You went through all of this because you couldn't man up and say, yo, this is what the situation is, which leads everybody to say, okay, what else are you weak about? Were you telling the truth about Gutekunst? Telling the truth about the Green Bay Packers? How you been treated? Is that not just a figment of your imagination? Are you embellishing just a touch to make yourself look like the victim so you could ultimately walk away and still have the support and the applause and the adulation of the football world? What other lengths are you willing to go to if something so simplistic and easy for you to do is something you struggle to do? And that's why I sit up here and I'm disappointed.
Listen, man, there are things
there are
things that you can say that are offensive. There are things that you can do. There's a number of things, nuance. And I'm not a big fan of cancel culture. Like, people been saying stuff out of the box since the beginning of time. I'm not a big fan of people being ostracized for one thing that they said or one thing that they did. I am a big fan of calling people out for who they are, though. Like, if you are that type of person and you want to sell it off as, well, I made a mistake, I just said this one thing, no, this is who you are, bro. And I keep saying that. This ain't about Aaron Rodgers being vaccinated. This is about Aaron Rodgers being deceitful. It's about Aaron Rodgers trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. We've said 1,000 times on this show, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, you do what you do. But there are rules in place. If you want to be a part of the organization, you're a part of. If you don't, then there's consequence to that. You can be mad at those consequences. But these businesses, these places, the NFL, and what we're talking about in particular, they're not bending on that. That's the way that they want to move forward based on the information and knowledge they have. I'll say this about Aaron Rodgers. I'm so sick of talking about it, but I'll say this about it. Hey, listen, man. Every time Stephen A. put Stephen A. and Kim on the screen, all right? Because people think they want that smoke until they actually get it.
Right.
That's the issue here. Like, when y'all have heard me say this before, stand on what you are, who you are, and what you say. And I get criticized. Stephen A., nobody gets it more than you. But I get criticized in my own little silo because people disagree. And they say, well, why would you say that? Or why would you be that? I'm standing on who I am, though. Mm-hmm. That's what I respect about people. Don't get this misconstrued when I say this, but this is reality. This is how I grew up. And Stephen A., you know that my grandmother taught me a lot of lessons that I still live by this, until this day. I got more respect for the racist guy that'll tell you he racist.
Damn right.
Than the guy that will look you in your face but not invite you to his house because he want black people
and
in there. Here's the
biggest point. There are people out there who support, like you say, trying to convolute the issue with Aaron Rodgers, right? That support him, that don't realize they're personifying exactly what you just said. Because as ignorant as they may be, as foolhardy as they may be, they're honest about who they
are. They're honest about
it. And we respect you for that.
Yes.
Listen, and let's put it on Front Street. I've certainly sat in this chair for 9 years now. I've made mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't said the right things. I've had to explain myself. I've had to apologize. Mm-hmm. You man up. You do it. period. Nothing else. The fact that Aaron Rodgers is going through this extent, just
it's the same face.
It's like, really? That, for that? For that? When you got NFL players who've admitted they're not vaccinated and are playing, and there was nothing that was going to jeopardize your ability to play. It just would have been a slight inconvenience to you. And you went through all of that just for that reason?
He was trying
it's
to
ridiculous.
Avoid this. He was
it's
trying
ridiculous.
To avoid all this.
And
really,
that's,
you got that, the last
that's
word
my
here.
Thing. That's
well,
my
the,
thing.
So the interesting thing is the people that have hit me up who complain about Aaron being sort of self-important in the offseason, making everything about him, you know, criticizing the front office and saying, oh, the roster, you know, those people have hit me back this past week and a half and been like,
see,
I told you.
See? Yeah.
And that whole offseason, I was like, but he's Aaron Rodgers. Like, the man should be allowed some freedoms. Like, you should treat him a certain way because he is Aaron Rodgers, a future Hall of Famer. But all those people were pointing to the behavior of the offseason saying, this is somebody who thinks he is better than everybody else. And I think this is an example of when that way of being becomes an issue.
Yeah.
And when he is actually better is on the field. So I am looking forward to that.
He
will be back on the field Sunday.
Be at that game,
Russell
so.
Wilson will also, you're covering that
football,
game?
Man.
Oh, that's going to be a great
he
one, Seattle, Green Bay.
Football.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Okay, we'll keep it moving.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Guys, thank you, Kimberly. I'd
like to change gears to a topic and a friend of mine who has an interesting perspective on the intersection of race, sociology, and sports in the United States of America. Coming out with a new book, Entertaining Race, Performing Blackness in America. New York Times best-selling author, my man, the one and only, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson. What's going on, my man? How are you?
The GOAT, Stephen A. Smith. How you doing, sir?
Always good to talk to you. First of all, you've written, I mean, I assume this is another New York Times bestseller. It's on its way because that's what you do. What inspired you to write this particular book at this particular moment in time?
Yes, sir. We're always grateful to be on your tremendous show. I wrote it at this point because I wanted to kind of take a survey and a tour of the themes I've been talking about for the last 30 years, the ideas I've been grappling with. And they were unified under the rubric of performance. On the one hand, Black people being forced to entertain in America, from the slave ship to the plantation to the stage. Also entertaining the ideal of race, how we continually confront it, and then being entertaining and illuminating as we do so. And I wanted to talk about Black performance, uniting what LeBron does, what Kobe does, what Serena does, with what the preacher does in the pulpit, what you do on First Take, and what I do in the classroom, and what everyday people do when they go to work, performing a variety of courage, of insight, of ancestral wisdom for the world to take advantage of and to be benefited by.
Essentially, you're talking about appreciating Blackness and appreciating the greatness of Blackness in a world of sports and beyond. Do you feel at this particular moment in time that that appreciation is lacking, even as you've seen the progress that has been made over the last several decades?
Yeah, that's a beautiful way you put it. There has been enormous progress and extraordinary appreciation for certain facets of Black experience, but there's also been a denial of the legitimacy of Blackness on the other hand. So while we can appreciate the fact that Jay-Z is a global phenomenon, just got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, that his beloved wife Beyonce, the greatest entertainer in the world today, that a Stephen A., a Barack Obama, you know, rise to the heights, and Oprah and the like, There's also the lag. We're having the trial right now of Ahmaud Arbery, the killers of Ahmaud Arbery. We're looking at the way in which race continues to play a role in denying people legitimate opportunities. We're having a great brouhaha over critical race theory. So on the one hand, enormous progress and the performance of blackness has been embraced. On the other hand, lingering controversies that testify to the fact that we haven't quite gotten the message yet.
I want to go to a nugget of information you've got in the book. You've argued Kobe, MJ, and LeBron as the figures on your Mount Rushmore as GOATs. First of all, I want to know why Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wouldn't be on there. And secondly, what do you make of LeBron's 18-year career and his accomplishments?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, Kareem is going to have to be up there, I mean, as well, as Magic. So, you know, I'm just going to have an extra space on my Mount Rushmore. But LeBron James is doing something we ain't seen before at that level. You know, as Jay-Z's lyric says, never been a brother this good, this long, speaking about his own career. Think about what Tom Brady is doing is extraordinary, 44 years old. But comparable to that, LeBron James, as 18-year player, at the height of his talent, with his extraordinary physique, with his extraordinary discipline, taking care of his body, and playing, still averaging 25 points and so many rebounds and assists to this day. It is remarkable. We've never seen it before. And he's making a powerful argument for his GOAT status. And when you add in what goes on beyond the parquet floor, when you talk about what happens beyond the basketball floor, LeBron James is pretty much incomparable and uncontested and unexcelled as a basketball figure in the history of the sport.
How do you feel about him compared to MJ? Because that's an argument that goes on and on and on. People like myself say MJ is the GOAT. I'm thinking people from my generation. Well, damn it, you're from a generation even before me. I want to know where you stand in terms of MJ compared to LeBron, but specifically off the court. I'm not even going on the court. When you think about their impact off the court of play, how do you compare MJ to LeBron James, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson?
I knew Stephen A was going to needle me. Look, the point is that off the court, the commercial impact of MJ is unexcelled in terms of coming along at a time when David Stern was rising, when Michael Jordan was rising, when the league was internationalizing and having a global impact, and the commercial impact on urban Black America as it gained its sea legs. When you put all those forces together, MJ was an unrepeatable phenomenon within the context of American global capitalism, global capitalism, American commercial products that were being consumed by people, the sneaker industry hitting its height, and Michael Jordan being a pitch man. All that is undeniable. But when you talk about off the court, LeBron has most of that, but he also has a social conscience and the ability to articulate the values, needs, and aspirations of ordinary Black people. And when you think about what he has done by using his platform to speak directly, not after he's finished with the game, not when he's no longer at the apex of his talent, no longer when he is not considered to be the figure within his sport, right now, simultaneously, he is deploying his influence for the good of his people and of America and of the sport. And in that sense, he's incomparable and at the height. He is the GOAT in that sense.
I'm going to transition before I let you get on out of here. I can't negate asking you this question. I'm talking about the babyface assassin himself. You write about how Steph Curry changed the game, but his faith also plays a huge part in his life. You write about that and about his family and the issue of colorism and how it plays out in Black life. Why is Curry such a powerful vehicle for such discussions, in your estimation?
I mean, a babyface assassin for real. When even AI says that's a bad man, you know he's a bad man. The way in which he stretched the floor, we talk about stretch fours, but look at what he did in terms of shooting from the logo. Look at the long shot, right? It has been redefined in his hands. But also, he's a man of faith. Not only pointing up to the sky when he makes a shot and so on, it's not just the performative character of his religious identity. It's the way in which it seeps into his everyday existence, his relationship to his wife, wife and his children, the love and respect and loyalty that he displays there, and the extraordinary commitment to a passion that transcends his own sport. But then finally, the colorism part, yeah, we know we still, within our own community, light versus dark. And we can be playful about it. We can say that, hey, when Wesley Snipes came along and Denzel came along, the pretty boy yellow guys got stuck to the back. We're coming back with Steph Curry and Drake right now. So we can be playful about it. But the seriousness of it is that to be light and bright and darn near white has been seen as an advantage in a racist economy of vision and of spectacle that says, if you're lighter, you're better. And if you're darker, you're not. My father was blue-black. An extraordinarily beautiful black man, but I saw the way in which he was dissed, both within black culture and beyond. And I think Steph Curry brings to the fore those kinds of arguments that are necessary to be had about colorism and our own internal forms of oppression within black America, too.
Surprise, surprise, another must-read in the world of sports and beyond from Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, author of a new book, Entertaining Race, Performing Blackness in America, on sale now. Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, always appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, sir.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, back to you, Molly.
Entering week 9, Lamar Jackson had 20-1 odds to win MVP, according to Caesars Sportsbook. But after a big performance in the OT win over Minnesota, Jackson now 9-1 and tied for the fifth favorite. Tom Brady was on a bye last week, but off weeks by some of the favorites were enough to move him to a plus 350 favorite. And, you know, bye weeks helped him in Stephen's A-list as well. So the AFC is wide open. So the question is, Lamar under the most pressure in the NFL right now, Stephen A.?
No, that would happen to be Dak Prescott. You know, it's interesting because, you know, when he played the way that he played this past weekend, I will remind everybody, Dallas Cowboys, we've seen it, what we've seen, sensational team. Have you seen them? I mean, you see Ezekiel Elliott running the football, Tony Pollard running the football, Dak Prescott throwing that football, even without Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Wilson, Schultz. I mean, the offense just dropping 40 like it's going out of style. Very impressive. And the defense no longer stinks, supposedly. I mean, they look like they stink against the pass, but they're definitely formidable against the run. You got Michael Collins on the edge. You got Trayvon Diggs in the secondary. Okay. And now, and again, DeMarcus Lawrence is going to come back. I mean, did you see Randy Gregory? I mean, these brothers can ball. So as a result of that, the expectations have elevated exponentially. Okay. This is it. Jerry Jones ain't getting any younger. We understand that. That clock ticking. So he says, I wish Jerry Jones stayed around for years and years to come. I love that man. But here's the deal. The bottom line is, when you look at them and the weapons that they have and all the pieces that they have in place, if you can't get it done now, when you gonna get it done? When you gonna get it done? I would tell you, Lamar Jackson's got some pressure. Not trying to alleviate that. Not trying to act like it ain't. But when I think about who's under that microscope, really under that microscope, it would be Dak Prescott for me.
It absolutely would be, because you can't help yourself.
Yeah, because you have a twisted, beautiful mind.
And see, Molly, this is why I'm defensive about my Dallas Cowboy fans. It's not that we more nauseating than any other fan base. It's just that people pay attention. It's just that people pay attention to us more. Yeah. That's all it is.
Steven is not used to sharing the shine.
Let's be honest about it. Let's be real about it, bro. I've had Bills fans last year when I was – talking about how they were playing. I got death threats because I didn't think the Bills would be a Super Bowl contender.
Oh my goodness. We
can find the crazies in every fan base. I just said the Pittsburgh Steelers, we shouldn't be going have a parade about the Pittsburgh Steelers because they beat the Chicago Bears. Before that game, everybody said the Chicago Bears was terrible. Now the Steelers are a Super Bowl contender because they beat the Bears in a last second drive. Not you. I'm not saying you. But I'm saying if you want to go find nauseating and crazy, it's there for every fan base. I guarantee it. We just sit back in Dallas and we enjoy it because y'all pay attention to us more. That's why, first of all, for you to say Dak Prescott is under the most pressure, you out of your damn mind. We all know that that's Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay in L.A. based on all of the things that they've given up. I could take you a bit further. Carson Wentz and Frank Reich are under more pressure than Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys because of what they wanted to sacrifice. Stephen A., the truth about football is that they leveraged their future in order for a quarterback that was on the descent to come in, think that they were going to fix him and go further in the playoffs. Don't even get me started on the Rams. They gave away Jared Goff. They gave away picks. They just gave away more picks for Von Miller. They gave away picks for Jalen Ramsey. I don't understand why it's not more pressure in L.A. to win a Super Bowl than it is for Dak Prescott in Dallas.
Then allow me to educate you.
I'm not going to allow you because I'm going to go to the question that's at hand. Okay. Is Lamar Jackson under the most pressure in the NFL? You damn right he is from a football context because he's the only reason his team is 6-2. That's why Lamar Jackson, when it comes to in between the white lines on game day for 3 hours playing against the opponent, he is the guy that has to do more for any other player in the NFL for his team to have a chance to win football games. And it's not even close. And
may
you
I,
can
may,
get
may
it.
I res- may I
go ahead. Go ahead and retort with whatever
I
you
will
go
retort.
Say.
I will retort, but you will be respectful on this show. You understand?
Wait,
I am the patriarch of the show. You the young big junior. You watch your tone. That's number one, okay? Number two.
I got
number
you, OG.
Two, number two. All right, young G. Number two. The very argument you made about Lamar Jackson is what alleviates some of the pressure. Again, if I'm saying he's under no pressure, that's foolhardy. If I'm saying that he's not under the most pressure, that's reasonable. Here's why. Because in the end, we're able to defer to the conditions under which he works. Because he's that lone ranger, because he's asked to do so much, because he's carrying the Baltimore Ravens on his back. In the event that he doesn't get it done, inevitably we go back to Harbaugh and the Ravens organization and the absence of help you have provided him as an excuse to diminish, you know, the level of momentum that would be thrown in his direction.
Say, one second. I hate to cut you off. One second.
Go ahead.
Let's just contextualize, though.
Sure.
Because when we talk overarching pressure,
okay,
I still don't agree with you that it's Dak. I think it's Matthew Stafford.
All right,
when we talk about
there.
When we talk about
there.
On the field,
right?
As far as pressure to deliver every single Sunday,
yeah,
it's
but that's
Lamar
not what
Jackson,
I mean.
Bro.
But that's, I'm sorry, I get your point. I'm talking about overall. In the end, if you don't get it done,
got
who
you,
we pointing the
you.
Finger at?
Okay.
That's all
okay.
I mean. That's
okay.
My definition of the pressure. I understand
you.
What you're saying in all seriousness. I understand what you're saying. I get that point. But that's the difference between the definition of pressure as we're looking at it. Looking at it as if it doesn't happen, who we gonna look at?
Okay.
Now. We go to Matthew Stafford in L.A. I got news for you. If you said Sean McVay, you got me beat. Because of all of those changes that have been made, because of the division between him and Jared Goff, mm-hmm. because of their willingness to get the quarterback that he wanted in Matthew Stafford and what we know he's capable of. So if you're talking to me about, no, it's not Dak. No, it's not Lamar. It's Sean McVay. I got you. But I'm talking about players. And when you look at Matthew Stafford has never won a playoff game in his career. Ever. He's never won a playoff game. And so what I'm saying is his skills are big time. I don't blame him. I blame the Detroit organization. I love Matthew Stafford. I'm simply making the point that if this brother plays the way that he plays, but for some reason other pieces don't work and the Rams lose, we're going to look at Sean McVay.
Okay.
We're not going to look at him.
Okay.
So, but with Dallas, because Jerry Jones finally took care of you and because you got that bag, and on top of it all, you were playing at an elite MVP level and your offense was a juggernaut. If somehow, some way, Dallas falls off, we going to look at Dak Prescott.
If the offense falls off.
Right.
Okay. We're going to look at Dak Prescott.
All right. I got
no
you.
No question.
We got
I got
you. But I would have said it was Patrick Mahomes because he took the league by storm, and now people are questioning if he's still that guy.
And they're reigning two-time AFC champions.
Yeah, so no one expected the
change. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
It should be like that this year. Okay, we'll carry on. Nikola Jokic has been suspended for one game without pay for forcefully pushing Markieff Morris in the back in Sunday's game versus the Heat. Morris was fined $50,000 for his flagrant foul 2 that led to Jokic's retaliation, and Jimmy Butler fined $30,000 for attempting to escalate the altercation and failing to comply with an NBA security interview. The whole event turned into a family affair with both sides getting into it on Twitter. Markieff's brother Marcus, who was on the Clippers, tweeted, "Waited till bro turned his back, shaking my head." That prompted Jokic's brothers to open a Twitter account named Jokic Brothers. The two confirmed that to the Denver Post. The newly created account tweeted, "You should leave this the way it is instead of publicly threatening our brother. Your brother made a dirty play first. You want to make a step further, be sure we'll be watching for you, Jokic Brothers."
No, we'll be waiting.
Sorry, waiting. We'll be waiting for you.
Isn't
Marcus then tweeted yesterday, "Mama said don't talk on social media no more." Well, there you have it. I love you, Mama. Okay, we have a lot going on there.
Right.
Good old social media. Kendrick Perkins back here with us. Stephen A., has this Jokic situation escalated too far?
No. Not for me. I mean, listen, we're not advocating violence. Let's make sure we're very, very clear. But the NBA, to some degree, has gotten a bit too soft at times. I like animosity. Now, I don't want fighting. You know, I don't want anybody to get physically harmed. But I want to emphasize, and this is what I'm saying, and put Kendrick Perkins up on the split screen, because I'm talking to my brother here, and it's not a disagreement. It's just my thoughts, and I'm really interested in hearing yours as well. And by the way, Kendrick Perkins, as an aside, Paolo Banchero for Duke? Banchero for Duke? Ooh. Lord have mercy. ladies
God
and gentlemen, a superstar is coming to the NBA nearest you. He's at Duke University. That brother, Lord have mercy, he special. And that's just an aside. Now let me get back to this. I got a lot of respect and admiration for the Morris twins. They're a physical duo. They are who they are. You know what you get, and when you get them, you bring them into the league for that. If without physicality, I heard Eddie Johnson on SiriusXM's NBA radio show yesterday talking with Justin Termini. They do a great job, by the way. Eddie Johnson made a very valid point. Guess what? If Markieff Morris wasn't physical, he wouldn't be in the league. You understand? Mm. You were a physical player. You were in the league. That's why I get upset when people try to talk about, well, Kendrick wasn't a scorer. No, he was an enforcer. Bang, bodies, rebound, defended. All of those are components that come with it too, which is what you were talking about with Scottie Pippen. We understand what the Morris twins are and what they're about. And by the way, they can play and they belong in any NBA team. I'm a huge fan of both of them. But they do instigate things from time to time. And Markieff Morris did instigate that with Jokic. And Jokic is not one to be messed with or played with. And by the way, just for edification to the world, neither are their brothers. Do your homework on those brothers. Look up their history. They ain't tweet that out by accident. They mean it. They ain't playing. And you know this, Kendrick Perkins, the way that I do. And I said this yesterday on First Take. You run across European players, some of these cats, they talk about the violence that exists and is perpetrated in the United States of America, and they talk about people talking about gun violence and stuff like that. They said, where we from, people drop bombs. It's a different world.
They said, this is what we have to deal with growing up. So America, to them, is heaven. You understand? It doesn't faze them. They're not scared. So we need to be mindful of that. And we're not encouraging violence. We're certainly not encouraging a sneak attack. Eric Spoelstra was right. If Marquise Morris was face-to-face with him, they'd have threw down, no doubt, because Marquise ain't backing up. There's no punk in him. We get all of that. But we just need to understand, Jokic ain't that dude either. And that's all I want to say about that, KP.
You know what? Let me say this. Let me say this, Stephen A. When I was in high school, at Ozan High School, I had a coach by the name of Coach Andre Butte, who played a huge role in my life, almost a father figure, right? And when I got there, when I got to high school my freshman year, he told me, I was on varsity, and I remember before the first game, he said, hey, look, you're going against this big man tonight. This is what I want you to do. You got to establish your presence. When the ref is not looking, I want you to sneak an elbow. If he elbows you back, then you in the fight. But if he don't do nothing, if he don't do a damn thing, you got him. Right? So that transitioned for me into the NBA. And so I knew that being a guy that was an instigator, being an enforcer, that some guys was going to elbow me back. Hell, some guys may want to scrap with me. As you could recall, when I was in Oklahoma City, they had to break me and Big Zach Randolph up in the
yes,
back
sir.
Locker room.
In the back locker, that's right.
Which, by the way, you and I, him and I, are great friends right now.
Yeah.
But I will say
Love
this,
that.
Okay? Let me keep going. Because they have certain guys in the NBA, certain retired and current, that ain't going to bust a grape in a fruit fight and ain't going to pour milk on cereal and ain't going to listen to it go snap, crackle, or pop, okay? But the Morris twins is not one of those guys, and Jokic is not one of those guys. My thing is this. The Morris twins have been doing things a lot in the NBA, and some guys, they just walk away. Some guys just say, hey, man, that's messed up. Mm-hmm. Well, Jokic wasn't one of those guys.
That's right.
And what happens is that when Marcus Morris tweeted out something, you got to believe that Jokic's brothers was going to protect him.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happened with PG, PG and Damian Lillard. They got into it, and then their family members got into it. It's part of it. It's part of it.
Yes.
All right, we got to go to break. But it's all love today because it's your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Molly, I got to confess.
What?
For the first time, Kendrick Perkins, I mean, the haircut with the blade, looking very
dapper. You look very handsome.
I'm like this.
He's
why
birthday
did not get
fresh.
That? Why did not get that blazer,
Oh,
Dan?
My goodness.
Okay.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Okay.
Also, happy birthday to the Marine Corps. OBJ is a free man, and according to our Diana Rossini, he is honing in on these three teams, the Chiefs, the Packers, and the Saints. Marcus Spears back here with us. Marcus, which do you like the best for him? Which fit?
Kansas City. And it's because I think I look at this more about what he has the opportunity to do to help that football team this particular year. But I look at it going forward as well. I think in Green Bay, it's too much unknown. You don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. You don't know if Devontae Adams is going to be there after this year. Those guys are in contract situations. So when you're looking forward, is Green Bay really a destination you want to bet on just for this particular season and not have the opportunity to move forward with a winning team as well? And obviously people can say, well, he'll be a free agent again after this season. Granted, true. But he can go make an impact right now in Kansas City, in my belief. And he also can become an integral part of what they do going forward. So I think the decision for Odell Beckham Jr. should be the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes ain't going anywhere. He locked down long term. Tyreek Hill will be there to take pressure off of OBJ, but OBJ will do that as well for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce in that regard. And we've talked about it on NFL Live. They need a number two receiver, quote unquote, a number two guy, which Odell Beckham Jr. would be in this offense, and he'll probably get a lot of one-on-ones, and it'll be more of a sample size of where he is as far as a football player, dynamic, or a receiver that you can win with, or a guy that has lost a step. But we can find that out more, I believe, in Kansas City than anywhere else in the league, especially with a team that's struggling offensively. Could you imagine if Odell Beckham Jr. went there and they started to have an amount of success, what the rest of the league circles would talk about when Odell Beckham enters free agency after this season?
Well, the first thing I'm wondering is how the hell Marcus Spears got the NFL Live and trying to close out First Take before I have an opportunity to respond. But I'll let that go till another day because I only got a minute left, okay? Because I only got a minute left, all right? Here's the deal, all right? Based on the teams reported, Kansas City is clearly the best option because of all the things that you threw up in the air about Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers' situation after the season, Davante Adams' situation after the season, et cetera, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And in New Orleans, Jameis Winston is out. You got Trevor Siemian there or Taysom Hill. That clearly is not the best situation for him, even though with Michael Thomas being out, he definitely get looks with New Orleans. Plus, they're a very good team this year because they're winning football games. I would say Kansas City obviously is the best option of the three because being a number two in Kansas City behind Tyreek Hill.
Wow, I can't believe you're saying that. Your boy, that
bad
man.
Based on the three. Well, Aaron Rodgers is leaving. Yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be there after the show.
Hey, man, wear a smaller collar next
time. Marcus, we'll see you on NFL Live. Whatever. Have a great day.
Whatever. Why you always talking about other people's clothes?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.